Greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Ronald Nichols, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right, we got a new guest host. This would be Ron Nichols from Box Office Buzz with a 1Z. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Tell us why that's 1Z, not 2Zs.
Unfortunately, 2Zs was way too expensive.
Because some jerk, when Twitter first showed up, said, I'm going to take Box Office Buzz and then sell it for $1 million to a blogger who has no money.
Pretty much. That's usually how the internet works.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Before we talk to Ron, get a little bit more to know about him, let's go through some paperwork here. We've got where you can get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can find all of our podcasts and movie reviews and that sort of thing on the site. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys or Fat Guys Network. And not only will this show show up, but all our other shows will show up, and you can subscribe to those individually or all together. Facebook.com/FGATM, and the heck with Facebook because of their stupid changes that are really messing with what people have already set up. Are you bothered by the new Facebook changes or anything?
A little bit. I mean, I have the new timeline set up now, which is like the new profile pages.
Okay, the F8.
Yeah, cluttered as hell.
Oh, yeah. I haven't switched over to that. I'll do it when I have to. I'm not as much upset at, and I talked about this on the Idiot Boxers the other day, but it's just that I'm not as much upset with the change in the look of it because I really don't care. It's a free service, so whatever. What bothers me is they're forcing changes into your settings that you then either have to go and spend half a day resetting everything. It's not like it says, oh, these things are going to change, you can change it or not. It just happens. And I know somebody who uses their selective, you know, when you do a status update, she'll change as to who can see it.
Yeah.
And when they made those changes, that wiped it all out.
Oh, wow.
Which defeats the entire purpose of having that. Either have that or don't have it, but don't keep changing it, that it screws it all up.
Yeah, that's just annoying.
Yeah. So, anyways, enough about Facebook. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. You can go to Get Glue and search Fat Guys in the Movies and listen, check in. We don't have a sticker yet, but you can go get it. I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. You're going to have to go to my website, 7mpictures.com, number 7, letter M, pictures.com. Go to the contact page. There's a mailing address. If you want a physical sticker for Get Glue, send me a sticker, and I will draw I'll draw something for Fat Guys. And then you can have a physical sticker. You don't actually need a Get Glue sticker. That is how awesome we are at this show.
That is pretty sweet.
So, Ron, tell us about yourself. What do you do? What happens? What brings you to the interwebs?
So, I run Box Office Buzz with 1Z.com.
Mm-hmm.
Just a pretty cool website for trailers, clips, news, movie database.
It's not a It's not like an honorary website for Baz Luhrmann and
no.
his like seven films he's done.
No. It's a full-blown database, so you get to go on that. And on top of that, I sometimes do some work with the podcast, which is at @_podcast on Twitter. You can find them, which is a pretty cool show. So, you know, I keep busy on the internet as much as possible.
Awesome.
In a very safer work way.
It's like you're like trying to like mediate this. You're like, no, I'm not a stalker or anything like that. I have a lot of fun on the internet. Totally clean though.
Exactly.
That's good. So yeah, Box Office Buzz 1Z.com, correct?
Correct.
What about Box Office Buzz with 2Z.net?
Is that also own taken? It.
You own it?
Yep. .org, own it. .ca, own it.
Take that stupid little guy who stole that at Twitter and on...
That was the goal. It was my way of saying, hey, try and start a website now.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, we should probably review a couple... Well, we'll review one film real quick. Actually, we'll preview it because we didn't get to see this. Because you watch the trailers and you're going to be like, well, I didn't screen that for anybody.
Yeah.
That is, what's your number? Anna Faris minds her past relationships, wearing that the one... has passed her by.
How many relationships do I have before I meet the right guy?
In America, 96% of women who have been with 20 or more lovers can't find a husband.
20?
That seems very high.
No, it's low.
I am not gonna sleep with one more guy until I am sure he's the one.
That's disgusting, Donald. I dated him.
Donald, it is you.
This is my fiance. She's a rocket scientist.
I'm marrying a scientist too. He doesn't look smart either.
Is it possible that all my exes got better with time?
You help me track down my exes, I'll help you escape yours.
You got a deal.
Do you have any desire to see this? Are you into chick flicks at all?
I have a weird love for Anna Faris, actually.
There's nothing weird about love. Well, wait, hold on a second. Is this how you spend your time on the internet
that
away from?
The best way to explain it is I have only liked maybe two movies with Anne Faris in it.
She's been in a lot of movies. Have you seen May?
No.
She's in May. That's a good. Do you like horror films?
I do, actually.
Ooh, you should check out May.
I'm going to have to check that out. Okay, so that may be three. So
She's not the lead in it, but she's in it.
I'll check it out for her. But so obviously Scary Movie.
Well, just the first one?
Just the first one. No, nothing past that.
None of the other ones?
No.
Not even when she went blonde?
No. I'm going to stick with number one. And so the other movie is Just Friends.
I love Just Friends.
It's a great underrated movie. So those
are
the
two
movies I like that she stars in. But here's the thing. She's so likable that even in terrible movies, I still love her character.
Oh, she's just so adorable.
So, like, it's this weird thing where I'm like, oh, is this movie going to be good? It doesn't matter because I still want to see her character.
And she's, like, it's like the House Bunny?
Yeah. It's
not that great of a film.
But you just love her as a character.
And kablam, she looks awesome in it.
She does.
She does look awesome.
I kind of want to know where her boobs came from in that movie. Because I don't remember them being that big.
Well, they were always covered, so it was probably...
That's true. She does tend to play the frumpy person in most movies.
Well, have you seen Take Me Home Tonight?
I have.
It's not good, but she looks terrible in it, because I think it was shot right after she did the House Bunny, because she had collagen injections in her lips, and I guess it's the healing process, and she looks like she's been punched in the face. And she's got, like, that mousy brown hair, so she does not look good in that movie. But the special features have a music video that she's in, and she looks incredible in that music video. So it's
which one you're talking about. It's the cover, right?
It's the one where they're doing all the 80s tributes and stuff, and she's like dressed in the Dirty Dancing outfit.
You know what's funny about that video? Shorts? Is I found that music video more funny than I found the movie. Like Topher Grace doing his impressions, hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were
hilarious. As Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, like, but that movie, I do not find that funny.
No, it's not that great of a movie. It's not awful, but it's very forgettable. It's very typical of somebody who starred in that 70s show.
Yeah.
Who wanted to do a movie tributing a different decade.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is, I'm surprised Topher Grace doesn't have a better career, because he's a really good actor.
He is, but he just, I think it's tough for him to get into a role. Not act in a role. I think it's just,
yeah, people probably still see him as, like, that 70s show guy.
They're either going to cast him as Eric Foreman or completely out of the box and cast him as, like, you know, some superhero villain.
Yeah.
We actually have to go. What's Your Number gets to know, it gets a preemptive suck, and we're not even going to talk anymore about it.
All right.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We are here again with Ron from boxoffice.com. And we were talking about our, I think it's a totally natural love for Anna Faris. But she is quite adorable. Have you seen Waiting? She's in that one, too.
I have.
You didn't like Waiting?
I love Waiting.
Okay, there's a lot of them you like.
You know what? I kind of love any Ryan Reynolds movie. So,
okay. Did you like Green Lantern?
You had to ask that, didn't you?
You're struggling with that one, aren't you? I like Green Lantern. I'll throw that out on the table. I like Green Lantern.
Here's my only issue with Green Lantern is I kind of wanted to see him and Sinestro kind of throw down a little bit.
They were planning. I think they're planning that for part two because Sinestro doesn't turn evil until.
I hope so because that's like the entire movie. I was like, I kind of want to see a throwdown at some point, but it just never happened.
Yeah. Well, they plan these things for series.
Oh yeah. So if it happens in the second one, then I'll be pretty satisfied.
Yeah. I'll level with you on something. You know who I was rooting for to get the Green Lantern role was Justin Timberlake. I kid you not. I think he would have done a bang up job in that role. Actually, I think he would have been better than Ryan Reynolds because although I liked Ryan Reynolds, anytime they cast Ryan Reynolds, it just has a tendency to try and get goofy.
Yeah, I think.
Except for like Buried.
Yeah, it's weird. It's this weird thing about Ryan Reynolds where people just put him in that role. Like, he has acting ability. He has range. Like
he's very good.
But I don't know. I think like have you ever seen Two Girls, a Guy in a Pizza Place?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I feel like everybody kind of goes back to that character for him.
That and Van Wilder, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what happens with most movies. Even when they're supposed to be serious, they go to that kind of.
He could play Othello in blackface, and you'd still have the goofy old Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, it's
doing...
weird. Like unless he's cast in like Buried or just
But even like, did you see Amityville Horror with him?
Yeah,
he tried his darndest to be serious, but there were some lines when he said it. I laughed out loud in the theater when I saw it. There's like one scene when he looks over when the girl was I think when she was up on the top of the building in a jump or something like that.
Yeah.
He looks over at Melissa George. And he's like, "What is wrong with you?" The way he said it, I thought was the funniest line in the movie. So, and I don't think it was intended to be that.
Yeah, way. It's just weird. I actually think it might be when you think about it, all mainstream films that he does. So, like, Buried isn't mainstream, and there's nothing really goofy about it. Nines isn't mainstream, nothing really goofy about it. Chaos Theory isn't mainstream, nothing really that goofy about his character. But when you go to mainstream, I think it's them trying to appeal to the people that normally go to Ryan Reynolds films and trying to get that character back into it.
You know what else is part of it is there is a certain tendency for certain actors and actresses, if they're good in the indie films, to just suck hard in mainstream. Best example I can think of is Parker Posey. You see her in the independent stuff, and she is absolutely amazing. Stuff like House of Yes, and the like, the Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah,
she was in Guffman and Best in Show. I mean, you see these movies, and she's fantastic in them. And then you see movies like You've Got Mail, and she's awful. Josie and the Pussycats.
I feel like they underwrite the really good actors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing about Hollywood because there's so many good independent actors out there and they get big roles and then they just kind of underwrite them.
Well, and I think that they're also underdirected.
Yeah.
Because I think what happens is Parker Posey gives, I've actually done some filmmaking myself, and a lot of actors in independent world, they tend to be a little needy and they want something from the director. And so the director, they will work with the director, and the director will work with them. But if they're more interested in the special effects or the big stars, they don't give anything to them. And so they just kind of come off as... Dustin Hoffman's like that.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman does fantastic work when he's directed, but you got movies like Sphere. He's terrible in. So, yeah, I think
that's very true.
Speaking of movies that have actors in it, that's my segue.
Great segue.
Let's talk about the next film, Dreamhouse, in which James Bond goes insane with the memories that he might have killed his family.
You live here and you don't know about the murders.
What murders?
The whole family was shot. The father survived.
Who did it?
The focus came down to the father.
Peter Lauren Slaughterhouse.
Everybody who lives in this house gets killed.
How could the neighbors not have said anything to us?
The house has been empty a long time.
I need to talk to you about one of your patients.
Peter Ward. Let's make sure we're talking about the same man.
This is, I kind of want to see this film, even though the trailers don't make it that appealing to me.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Craig, he's one of those guys where any movie he does, he kind of gives it his all.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great actor, and it's nice to see him continuing to do movies, because I think he's the only James Bond who's ever gotten the role of James Bond and then continued to do other things.
Yeah, it's weird. Most James Bonds kind of drop off the map.
I mean, Sean Connery and Roger Moore, they became typecast and couldn't do anything else for years. And I don't count Lazenby or Dalton because they were so fleeting.
Yeah.
And Dalton kind of had an iffy career anyways. And he's done some great stuff. Actually, his best stuff's been post-Bond. But Pierce Brosnan, I mean, he always had trouble getting roles anyways. And so it was only after he got out of doing James Bond that he started to try to do other things.
And he still experiments, which is pretty cool. Like, Lair Cake, I mean... Jeez.
Oh, you mean
not Lair Cake. I'm thinking
the Matador. He was great at
Matador. Which one am I thinking? Defiance. He did.
Are you talking about Craig?
It might be Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig did Defiance and.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm trying to Flashback of a Fool is the movie I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Where it's kind of like he's still. It's weird. He does mainstream Bond, which kind of is supposed to. Like, just push you into the stratosphere as an actor and get you lots of roles, but he still has no issues going into and doing kind of off-the-beaten-path movies where you wouldn't really think of him being in it, which is pretty cool, I think, as him being a bigger actor.
Yeah, my biggest worry about Dreamhouse is, and I've heard that this is not the case. I have not seen it, because they're originally going to screen it on, like, Tuesday.
Okay.
Which was going to be awesome. And then they moved it to Thursday night at 10 o'clock, which is after we're recording this. This will be posted. This podcast will go live after that. But
that's what it wasn't they're recorded. Trying to trick you so that you can't review it before it comes in.
But I mean, if you watch the trailers, it's pretty much just like you're like, how far into the movie do we have to get till things start to happen that we don't know are going to happen?
Yeah.
That was, we were talking off the air, I made a comment to you, and I don't want to go into a big debate about Warrior. I just suffice to say you loved it, I hated it. One of my biggest beefs with Warrior is you got to wait for like 2 hours until you get to a point that you don't know what's going to happen because it's all played out in the trailer.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like, the reason I liked Warrior was the acting-wise, and I just thought it had a lot of heart. But I think Warrior is a good example of the big issue with trailers nowadays.
Yeah. It's always been that.
It's just, they reveal way too much. Like,
The movie Annie, the movie Annie that came out in 1980 or 81, the big musical by John Huston, the trailers literally have the last shot of the movie in it. As does Quarantine and /Wreck, both of them had the last shot of the movie.
I don't understand, do they think audiences are going to miss things like this? Warrior, revealing that they were brothers in the trailer shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
I mean...
What brothers? Revealing they get to the end of the tournament. Yeah, they're going to fight each other. There's no surprise. There's a lot of
things where they could... the only trailer that I've seen full trailer so far, even though if you've read Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, you kind of already know what happens. Yeah. But they released a 4-minute trailer.
I saw that.
Does not reveal that much about the movie.
It lets you know what it's about.
Yeah.
And it plays it out.
It's pretty much a synopsis of the movie, and that's it.
Yeah.
Which is, that's the first thing that impressed me. I was like, wow, they didn't reveal every single.
They didn't reveal all the twists and turns, because there's a lot, yeah.
But it's weird about trailers now. That's just how they are. I guess they've always been like that, but I mean, that's kind of why I sometimes hate watching trailers.
I usually avoid them. Speaking of trailers, let's move on. We're going to. Dreamhouse gets a preemptive suck. 50-50. We're going to leave you on the trailer of that. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a young man who's diagnosed with a rare form of cancer, and his friend must help him to try and beat the odds.
Hello?
Hey, Sam.
What's going on?
Probably having a nervous breakdown.
What are your chances?
It said 50-50.
It's not that bad.
If you were a casino game, you'd have the best odds.
You really think that a girl's gonna go for me just because I have cancer?
For the millionth time, yes!
I have cancer.
I was wrong. It was weird. It's weird like that. No, it's not too soon. It doesn't sound cool.
2 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We are in the infamous middle segment where you can swear and say awful things. Do you have anything you want to, any curse words that are itching to get off your tongue there?
I'll reserve it for the box office.
Okay. Well, we got to talk about 50-50 first, though.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. We left on that trailer. This is the other Seth Rogen cancer friend film.
Yes.
Way better than the first Seth Rogen cancer friend film. And no, when I say the Seth Rogen cancer movie, I'm not talking about Knocked Up. Somebody asked me that and on Twitter, a friend of the show, Ike from Mike and Ike, he's like, Knocked Up. I said, I referred to 50-50 as the other Seth Rogen. He's like, what's the first one? Knocked Up. And I go, do you consider babies cancer? And he's like, aren't they? I said, did that offend you? I go, well, maybe if you said that I considered them appetizers, that would be offensive.
That is the
level of humor on this show. You haven't seen 50-50, have you?
I haven't yet, but it's actually one of the movies that over the entire summer that I've wanted to really see, actually.
Yeah, it's I liked it, but I had to grow to like it.
Okay.
I may have went through the 7 stages of grief during the film itself.
Along with the character?
Yeah. Well, because here's the thing. It's really, because the movie is about, it's named after his cancer chances.
Yeah.
So it's not even like Funny People being the other Seth Rogen cancer movie, where you don't know it's about, but this one's about cancer. There's no way around it. So you kind of just have to sit there, and to its credit, it opens with him getting diagnosed.
Okay.
So
they kind of get that out of the way right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's one of the earlier scenes. It's not the very first scene, but it's pretty damn early in the movie.
Okay.
So that's what the film's about. And it's about his journey and you know, in him going through the 7 stages of guilt and him dealing with it and him, the reaction of his family and his friends and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And it's a good movie, but when it starts out, because it's just like, hey guys, we're doing cancer this week. It does have that certain level of, it just feels very rote.
Okay.
You know, you're like, okay, he's going to get diagnosed. Now he's going to do this now, and which is typical. These things happen, and it's very predictable. It's very predictable how people's reactions are. Everybody's different, but there's these, you know, 10 or 12 reactions that people are going to have, and it's going to be one of those.
Okay.
And so you know what he does. And like he's living with his girlfriend, who's played by Bryce Dallas Howard, who's, I guess, her role is playing the bitch every movie she's in recently.
It's horrible. I love Bryce Dallas Howard.
She's so awesome.
She's probably one of the hottest redheads around.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not a big fan of redheads. I mean, nothing against redheads. I mean, I'm sure there's...
And Emma Stone. Those are my two favorite. Emma Stone is not a real redhead, but... I don't care. She counts.
I'm okay. Emma Stone's okay. I'm more. If you're gonna talk redheads that I got a crush on, I'm gonna have to say Karen Gillan from Doctor Who.
Oh, that's a good choice.
She plays Amy Pond. Yeah, that's a ginger I'd like to snap. Ooh,
wordplay, so, nice.
That's right. But anyway, so you have the whole thing, and you know Bryce Dallas Howard is not gonna support him, and you know she's not good at that because, of course, they're setting it up as a love story with him and Anna Kendrick, who plays his therapist.
Yeah.
So you kind of just like, okay, get past this. I know this is going to happen, and you know, and he is a bit of a, part of the thing is in the onset of the movie, he's a big turd. I mean, he's a big douche in the beginning because he's not because he has cancer, but just because he's just kind of an idiot. He's dumb and he's doesn't see the writing on the wall, and he's kind of an annoying person. But once you go through this with him and you see it, and it starts getting more complex, and it gets very real and raw, but in a sense that you can accept. It's not trying to pull strings.
Okay.
It's just telling it as it is. And I thought that was actually really, really condemned. I think I was great about the movie.
Yeah, it sounds like you get a really character growth throughout the movie.
Definitely.
Which is, I mean, like I said, I really want to see this movie. It's I think it's going to have some good comedy to it because, I mean...
It has some very funny scenes.
Yeah, I mean, Seth, he's a funny guy to me.
You kind of sound like him, too.
Yeah, I've been told that.
Yeah. And, you may be Seth Rogen. I may actually be talking to Seth Rogen right now.
Well, we will say that I am Seth Rogen for the time.
Just hoping that I give this movie a good review.
Well, yeah.
You have to laugh. You have to,
the stoner laugh. I love it. And JGL is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's like
JGL is our friends call him because you did a movie with him, obviously.
Well, JGL is just awesome. AKA Hit Record Joe. If you want to follow him on Twitter. He is literally one of my favorite, like, underrated actors.
He's not underrated. Everyone loves this guy.
Well, I mean, underrated in a sense that he's not really in anything big yet. I mean, I loved him in Brick, which is...
Well, he was in Inception.
Inception kind of counts.
He wasn't known for Inception, so yeah, that's what you mean.
Brick.
Like, Tom Hardy wasn't known for Inception.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean... he's just a really good actor. I mean, I think he probably does a really good job of going from a person who's probably kind of a dick at the start of the movie to a person that has to go through this horrible ordeal to turn into a good guy, right? So,
it's not even that he's a dick. It's just that he's a bit of a douche and he just sort of lets life pass him by.
Okay.
And that works for so I mean it's a criticism of the character, but I mean it's necessary. All the stuff that happens at the beginning of the film and sort of the setup is very necessary.
Okay.
To make the full movie work.
It sounds like a movie that I think a lot of people should probably see.
I think it's going to do well. I don't know if it's going to be a mainstream success, but I think it's going to be it's going to be a steady play.
Okay.
Once it goes wide, but what's funny is as I'm watching it, because part of it is not only do you have to get over the fact that I had to get over the fact that I just particularly didn't like his character at the beginning and just sort of some of the things they're trying to pull. But I also, Seth Rogen's so overexposed. I think that hurt Paul, I think hurt having his voice in it. Because even though he did a good job in it, it's just you're like, oh, it's goddamn Seth Rogen again in another pot smoking movie, you know?
So, I definitely understand that. I mean,
but he works in the movie.
Yeah, he's been a guy that's ever since. I'm trying to think what his kind of first movie to come out of the blocks was.
He was in movies, but the big first big hit was Knocked Up.
Yeah, there we go.
He did Knocked Up, and then he had Superbad, which he had a small part in.
Yeah,
boom,
everybody kind of knows him now, and I think the problem is, Green Hornet, he kind of got rid of the stoner laugh, but I think what gets on a lot of people's nerves is that kind of stoner persona.
Yeah,
that is pretty prominent in a lot of the films he does. So I think that's kind of starting to get wear thin. Where I think he's going to have to do maybe a little bit more darker comedies.
Well, and I think that's why he did the Green Hornet and then the Green Hornet threw him into the sort of the party lifestyle at least at the beginning, and made him into sort of like the bumbling idiot at times. He's already kind of typecast as that, and it's a shtick.
Yeah.
And shtick, when you get to a point where it's shtick, it's either going to be something that you love and you just put in a movie and it's gold, like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
It can do almost anything, and you're just going to be like, "It's Jack. What's up?" You know, or
as long
it's
as
going,
he acts crazy, I'm good.
Yeah, or it's going to be the shtick that like Pauly Shore does that
burns
out.
And then it's just
going
to wear thin, and nobody's going to want to see it anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I think I want to kind of see what he does with his character in the movie. I hope it doesn't get to be an overbearing character. I like him. I think he's a funny guy. I think over time he's going to turn into probably a pretty good actor. The only other thing I really want to see him in is Seth and Jay versus the Apocalypse, really. So, I mean, I'm hoping he does get in this movie because I really want to see it. It's been one of the movies I've been waiting to come out since probably the start of the summer.
Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely worth checking out. 50-50 is definitely worth seeing.
Matinee or kind of... go see it.
Oh, no, I'd say go see it. Well, yeah. You know what's funny, though, with it is as I'm watching it, I come to certain realizations. And there's a part in there where, and you see it in the trailers, where Seth Rogen's character is trying to get him laid.
Yeah.
He's like, no, we're going to go down here. We're just going to do this. Help me have cancer. You know? And so they go in this scene, they go and they get these girls and they pick them up and they go back and they're banging them. And here's the thing. I'm married. I've known my wife since college. So when I met her in college, so we've been together since college.
Okay.
So I've never had that. I'm just like, really? You can just do that? People just go out and get laid like that?
How does that happen?
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. And it's Seth freaking Rogen. I mean, that guy's not. I mean, I understand Joseph Gordon-Levitt with cancer and a shaved head still is probably way better looking than Seth Rogen. And these girls that they had, I was just like, can that really happen? And now I'm 40 and I'm married. I got 3 kids, so I'm never going to know if that happens. That to me is sort of like, it's going to be these mystical things.
Does. I can't does it happen? Confirm or not confirm.
I know that guys go out and get laid all, that's their goal, but it just blows my mind that there's willing participants that will reciprocate. I've heard that that's true, but
it's sometimes true.
Sometimes true. You know, the name of the episode last week was Go for the 7.
Okay.
And that was in strip club jargon, because if you ever go to a strip club, do you have strip clubs where you're from?
Of course.
It's just filled with them up there, isn't it?
Yes, ours are a little bit better than yours, though.
Okay, explain that to me. How is it better? Okay, you're from, can we tell you where?
Yeah, I'm from Calgary, Canada.
Okay.
So,
and that's in Manitoba?
Alberta.
Is that Alberta? Where is Manitoba?
I can't really tell you, to be honest.
You don't even know?
I'm like,
shame on you.
But I can't Nova really Scotia? Tell it in comparison to where you are. Cause but essentially, so.
You're right. No, I know where you're right above Montana, aren't you?
Kind of. So, you guys in the States, I believe you guys have, topless, but can't drink in the bar, right?
It depends on the state.
Yeah. So in Canada, it's full nude drink.
Okay.
So that's what makes ours a little bit better.
Can you touch?
You probably can. Chances are you can. Are you going to walk out alive?
Really? Is it that dangerous? Do they have like grizzly bears waiting in the wings?
Grizzly bears and pet beavers. So, you know.
Pet beaver. So when you go to the beaver store, it's not what I'm thinking. When we're at the beaver shop.
But yeah, so ours are pretty good. We have a ton. So.
Oh, okay, cool. But I always said, and I said this last week, go for the 7 is when you go to a strip club, you don't go for the 10. You don't get the private dance from the girl who's the 10, because she's gorgeous and she's totally hot. She's smoking. She doesn't have to work for anything. You know, for the girl that's got to work for it. You know, he's going to be a little more receptive and actually look you in the eye and not have a look of I'm going to vomit because you're a big fat dude. And I'm 23 and I need money. I'm saying I need money for college, but I really need money to pay my pimp boyfriend.
I'm going to be a rocket scientist. Give me money.
So, but I guess it'd be the same thing if that does happen, where if you just want to go get laid because you have cancer, go for the 7. Don't go for the 10.
Yeah. My favorite part of the preview is when he goes up to the girl. He's like, yeah, I have cancer. And then Seth Rogen's character walks by. That was a horrible idea.
No, it doesn't work.
That's just creepy. That's a bad idea.
Well, it's funny because he then takes off his hat and he has his head shaved. That's part of the thing, isn't it? Once he shaves his head. Again, you know this is happening because it's on the freaking poster.
Yeah.
And all the internet advertising is him shaving his head. So you know he does that. And he's all self-conscious about it. He wears a hat all the time. So he looks like he could be a hipster, but he doesn't wear tight enough jeans. And I'm like, what's the big... I shave my head.
Yeah.
And I don't have cancer. Maybe I should. Well, I have a beard. Do you? I mean, that's. I wonder. And that's a question I got to ask. Do you? Not like I'm asking you, like you're a doctor. Like, if you're in chemotherapy, I know your hair will fall out sometimes.
Yeah.
Will your beard fall out?
I think you essentially lose all your hair, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Like your pubes?
Probably.
Wow. That would save a lot of money for porno stars. But he means somebody like, I'm really hairy. I'm not really hairy. I'm just inconveniently well distributed, we'll say.
That is the best way to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really thick. It's just all over the place and not attractive. So, all right, I'm just curious, because I couldn't pull off saying, I got cancer, can we go home and have sex? You have a big, thick goatee. Well, I don't have cancer there.
It's only in the head area.
It's only brain cancer. So, let's talk about the box office. Oh, by the way, so 50-50 rocks, so go check that out. Let's talk about the box office. What the fuck is up with the Lion King? Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, you know what? The second week it surprised me. Second week in a row. Like, the first week, I thought it was going to be top five. Number one.
Disney thought it was going to. Disney had like mid to low teens as their prediction last weekend.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I guess you're getting the nostalgia crowd, but I mean, like.
Yeah, honestly, it is something I don't understand, because as much as I think The Lion King's a great movie and it looks great on the big screen, it's worth checking out on the big screen, and the 3D conversion, the bits I've seen in it, I've seen the trailer, I've not seen the whole thing because I didn't pay for it and they didn't screen it here, but I've seen the trailer a couple times in 3D and okay. It looks really good. So the conversion looks really good, but I don't see how that translates.
Yeah.
I don't see how that translates to $61 million in 2 weeks.
Yeah, see, the minute I found out it was gonna be coming out for the 2 weeks, the only thing I kind of thought in my head was, okay, they're gonna upgrade the picture, they're gonna do 3D. Mm-hmm. I'll buy it on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
but in no way do I want to go see it in a theater.
Yeah, I mean it's a good movie, and it only dropped like 27% from week to week, which is. That's a hold that people dream of.
Especially in September.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how well this movie's done. And like I said, I did an online roundtable with the producers of it, and they were asked, you know, what'd you think? And they're just like, we had no idea that this is going to do as well as it did.
And I think now what's happening with The Lion King is, a lot of movies are going to be re-released now.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what's funny, because 3D has been suffering this year.
Yeah.
And you had big movies like Harry Potter and Transformers, but those were going to do well with or without 3D.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And so people are like, oh, yeah, it's going to be. And then suddenly Lion King comes out and they're just like, oh, my God, just wait. They're going to have Kung Fu Panda 1, Shrek 1 and 2 and 3 re-released in 3D. They're going to do just start releasing all of them.
Oh, yeah. Everything. Like, you already see the trend of a lot of stuff essentially getting set up to put back in the theater. So
Now
people are not only going to have remakes to complain about, they're going to have. Every movie's getting put back into theaters.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see how well that does. But even like The Lion King, what's so blows my mind so much about The Lion King is everybody already has this movie. It's come out on DVD. It's been on VHS.
Yeah.
Every family with kids under the age of 10 has a copy somewhere.
It's true. I the best way to explain maybe why it did so well is like my girlfriend kept bugging me to go see it. I actually asked her why. She's like, it's in 3D. Okay. That does not make me want to see it, but okay.
Yeah. That's bizarre. I wish they'd take some of that money and bring back stuff like Jaws 3D.
Oh,
and
that'd just be awesome.
Make that digital Dolby Digital 3D. Same thing with Friday the 13th Part 3 and Amityville Horror and Freddy, the Freddy movie that had the last so many minutes in 3D.
Okay, I don't know. See, if those came back in theaters, I kind of would want to see them with the red and blue 3D glasses.
Oh, no, I'd want to see it as the digital 3D just to see how cool that would look.
I mean, this is weird, because if the 3D is really good in Lion King 3D, it makes me kind of wonder, like, what the heck happened to the bad after conversion movies. Like, did they just not try when they tried to convert it over to 3D?
Part of it is the care they take with it. Part of it is how the movie was shot initially. Did it have depth to it?
Okay.
Because there's a lot of movies that get a post conversion, and like there's really no depth to it. It's not shot in such a way that you can really pull 3D out of the image. And some of it's just sloppy rendering.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, I mean, Clash of the Titans. I took off my glasses.
Yeah, well, that one was Clash of the Titans and Last Airbender were sort of like the benchmarks for that. But the thing with Clash of the Titans, it was one of the earlier conversion movies.
Yeah,
it was one of the early, and now people starting to take care, because I thought the Harry Potter conversion looked fantastic.
Yeah, Harry Potter was great in 3D.
Yeah,
it was one of the rare movies where I was kind of like, you know what, I'm really glad I saw this in 3D. I would have probably been a little bit disappointed if I saw it in 2D. Now that I've seen it in 3D, one of the rare movies that I've had that feeling coming out of that film.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I mean, I thought the Lion. I'm glad to see that 3D is not totally dead, because I love 3D.
Yeah.
But not everything needs to be in 3D. The other 3D movie this week was Dolphin Tale, which I thought was unnecessary.
Yeah, it's weird. They're trying to tag kind of 3D onto everything now.
I wouldn't mind that if they didn't charge you $5 more to see it.
Yeah, I mean, just make it so that movies that deserve to be in 3D, be in 3D.
Yeah.
And the rest, just leave them, like. Just let them be how they are. You don't need crazy action films to be in 3D if there's going to be nothing appealing about the 3D.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
I love 3D. I wouldn't mind if every movie was 3D even, just as long as I didn't have to pay too much for it.
If you do like an Ultra AVX, it's
the hell that?
Regular price is like $10.50. 3D is like $15, $16.
That's about what it is here.
Yeah.
That is about what it is here. And it's ridiculous. So just make it a buck or two more.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they're suffering this year.
I mean, if you get your drink and your popcorn, you pretty much just took out a small mortgage.
Exactly. Exactly. Or a family in the parking lot.
Yeah. Money.
The other movie, so Lion King came in first with almost $22 million. Then he had Moneyball and Dolphin Tale neck and neck, you know, like $350 million.
Yeah,
350,000 away from each other.
Yeah, and Dolphin Tale, I think, is taking that like Blindside kind of crowd.
Well, it's by the same people.
Yeah, so I can see it kind of probably, to be honest, staying pretty steady for the next few weeks.
Well, and when you look at the fact that it's going to be hurt by the fact that the Lion King is not leaving all the theaters this week.
Oh, it isn't.
No, they're keeping. I don't know how many they're keeping it in.
Yeah, that might actually hurt a few theaters.
Yeah. So Dolphin Tale, but I don't think Dolphin Tale is going to be as successful as a Blind Side.
No, I think it's going to have a few good weeks and then probably drop off a bit.
Yeah, and then there's Abduction, which didn't even make $11 million.
Which, I'm sorry to anybody that likes Abduction likes Tale of Honor. I'm glad it didn't make.
It was not a good movie. It wasn't a terrible movie. It just wasn't that good.
I mean, I just kind of, I want, like, to be honest, I still haven't seen Drive. I'm planning on seeing it this weekend.
Oh, Drive is such a good movie.
That's the thing. This is why we can't have good movies anymore, because they don't make enough money.
Oh, they do. They show up. Trust me, next week you got Ides of March is opening, that's going to do well.
I think, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got Clooney. You got Gosling. Should be.
I hate Gosling, but damn it.
You hate Gosling?
I hate Gosling, but... Two of his movies are probably going to make my top 10 list this year. At least that's the way it's going out.
You hate Gosling. Why do you hate Gosling? Is it because
he's annoying? No, it's because of his face.
You don't like his face?
I never found him all that compelling of an actor. All the movies I've seen him in up until Drive.
I've just been
irritated. I mean, weird. Half Nelson, Blue Valentine, Fracture, The Notebook. I mean, it doesn't matter whether, I mean, Crazy Stupid Love, it could be a mainstream movie, it could be a cheap little indie. I just don't like him, but... Damn it, Drive and Ides of March are fantastic films.
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, probably the number one reason why I like Gosling is Breaker High.
No, I didn't see that.
Breaker High is the first show he was ever in. So it starred him. The two main characters are Ryan Gosling and Chuck
wait,
and Dale.
Ryan Gosling is the character, or he, that's just
Blaine, the main star, okay. And the guy from Chuck and Dale versus Evil,
the guy with the beard.
Yes, the main fat guy. Those are the two main characters in the show.
Huh.
And I mean, this is probably on. It was on YTV, which is a Canadian channel.
Which is why I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it was on YTV. It was probably when I was like 10 years old.
Oh my God.
So this is like.
Which was what, like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, no, pretty much.
You're so young.
But yeah, Gosling was, I think, maybe like probably 13 years old when the show was
on. Oh, wow.
So, but like.
That was a Leonardo DiCaprio on Growing Pains.
Yeah,
movement,
it was pretty much it? The best way to explain this show is Saved by the Bell, four Canadians on a boat. That's the best way to explain
it. I don't even know how you do that.
And it was actually a pretty funny show. And I don't know why I've given him as much credit as I have, but since then I kind of give him enough credit to be like, I'll watch what you're in. So
maybe I should seek out this Canadian show. Sure as hell doesn't play in the US anywhere, does it?
Oh no, I don't think it plays anywhere anymore.
Well, because isn't Canada all wacky with their independent film?
We're pretty wacky. I mean, the best example of our independent films are like Crash.
Well, but you need that awful thing where that won the Academy Award.
The one where pretty much it's people get in accidents, have sex.
Oh no, that's the David Cronenberg. Well, that's Cronenberg.
Yeah,
Cronenberg's a famous. You know, okay, that makes
sense.
He's a famous.
But like our indies movies are kind of like that. I mean, one of the only really really good Canadian indie movies is Bon Cop Bad Cop.
Never heard of it.
It's, yeah, I don't think a lot of people would have. Not even a lot of people in Canada have seen it.
See, I about 10 years ago, I was at Comic-Con, and I ran into another person from a website who's going to remain nameless just so I'm not name-dropping or anything like that. But he was a big name back then, especially back then, 10 years ago.
Okay.
And he had a friend with him who was a Canadian filmmaker, and I don't remember this guy's name. But he was like a Canadian filmmaker / DeLorean enthusiast.
Okay.
I don't, the DeLorean has nothing to do with it. I just found that very odd.
Yeah, that is kind of odd.
But he had made a film called Purple Gas, was the name of it. And it was, and he actually gave me a copy of it. I don't know, maybe I got through about half of it. And it was a film about a serial killer. Or no, I think it was, maybe he worked for the Canadian government. And this is even true that they had like gas that was like government gas.
Okay.
And it's been given a purple dye. But you're not supposed to use it for just personal use, and he goes tracks down people who use it and kills them.
Okay.
And I asked, I said, is this ever going to go anywhere? And he's like, well, the way it works is there's a lot of funding available for Canadian filmmakers, independent Canadian filmmakers, but if you take that funding, it can't get released anywhere but Canada.
It's true. It's weird. Canadian broadcasting like tons of money, like. Funds, grants to do it, but I mean, yeah, there's not a. I mean, I think the top grossing Canadian film last year was now I'm going blank. Splice was like $2 million.
I love Splice.
Yeah, that was the top grossing Canadian film last year. One of the top grossing, I should say. But like,
that was the top grossing because it bombed in America.
Yeah, and it only made like $2 million in Canada.
Huh.
So, I mean, like, it's weird. It's kind of weird. Like, there is a lot of funding here. I mean, everything is shot here.
Oh, yeah.
But like a true Canadian film, like, it's rare to find a true Canadian film that does insanely well.
Well, this is the thing that this guy was telling me is that you can, it's like almost anybody can get a funding for a movie, decent. But, and that's what he said. He goes, yeah, no one will ever see it. It's just,
yeah.
We made this movie and I watched the movie, or at least part of it. And I mean, the production value wasn't bad. It was shot on film.
Yeah.
Which means a lot more money. And that was back in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I guess the best way to kind of explain it is, you know how, I guess, most people don't really get British humor.
Yeah.
Even less people get Canadian humor. That's kind of the best way to explain it.
Okay. I can handle that. Anyways, let's move on.
All right.
Talking about swerved into Canadian movie. But so anyways, Killer Elite made less than $10 million and all the way down. What did Bucky Larson. Just check that because everyone wants to know what Bucky Larson.
Bucky Larson's got to be like negative.
Let's see. Hold on. It's so obscure. I have to search. Let's see, Bucky. I have to search the page because it's not readily seen. Oh, Buck is there.
And I only do the top 12, so I can't even tell you what it is.
According to IMDb, Bucky Larson isn't even showing up in the top 100.
Which makes sense. I mean, it got, Rotten Tomatoes' worst rating ever?
Did it get the...
It got 0%. It might have gone up at this point, but when it came out, it was at 0%.
Wow. You know what's funny is I mentioned this back on the Idiot Boxers, but I'll mention it here as well, just so I can get people mad at me. I recently updated a bunch of my DVD reviews. I'm a critic on Rotten Tomatoes, so I was linking a bunch of my DVD reviews I'd written over the last couple of years onto Rotten Tomatoes into their database, and I did a review of Say Anything. You ever see Say Anything?
I haven't.
Okay, it's Cameron Crowe.
Okay.
Who did, of course, you know, Almost Famous and Vanilla Sky. And it's a beloved sort of indie-spirited mainstream film from like 1989.
Okay.
And it was the 20th anniversary Blu-ray that I was reviewing. I didn't like it. I don't like Cameron Crowe. I watched the movie. I thought, I understand why everyone loved John Cusack in this, but I find his character annoying.
Okay.
So I had a negative review, so I gave it a rotten. And I'm checking my stats on my website and seeing people coming in from that. And from the comment page, I go, oh, let's see what the comments are. Apparently, I busted the 100% that it had on Rotten Tomatoes. I am the reason it has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and not 100%.
98% is insanely good on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, but it's amazing how much people get pissed off that I knocked it down. And then they're like accusing me of being a troll. Like I'm running around looking around for 100% reviews, then going and buying or renting the DVD and writing bad reviews just to get hits on my website.
That's ridiculous.
And obviously they're making that happen even more.
Oh yeah.
So I thought that was funny. Oh. Officially, Bucky Larson is not in theaters anymore.
Officially.
It made $395,000 its second weekend.
Which is
a 72%.
This is my weird prediction. It will make money on DVD.
Oh, it'll make its. It has a $10 million budget. It will easily make that back.
Yeah, it's Adam Sandler movies, man.
And it's Nick Swardson. I mean, Nick Swardson, I think, is good for some money on
DVD. You know what? He's a funny guy.
He is. You know, it's one of the most underrated movies that he's ever been in? What? Grandma's Boy.
Oh, I love Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy's so awesome.
I mean, he's a funny guy. His stand-up is really good.
Yeah.
If I was him, I'd be pretty pissed at Adam Sandler for even thinking about that movie, but...
Well, Adam Sandler's got Jack and Jill coming out, so this guy is not replete with great ideas.
Yeah. I hope he kind of comes back somehow with some better comedy, because, yeah. I mean...
He was in 30 Minutes or Less this summer.
Is he? Mm-hmm. Oh, Nick Swardson.
I didn't like the movie. But yeah, Nick Swardson. No, no, not Adam Sandler.
Yeah, 30 Minutes or Less is a good... I found very funny, but...
Okay. Hey, let's talk about what do you think is going to win this weekend? Do you think Lion King is going to win this weekend?
I kind of feel I think 50-50 is going to be up there.
Really? Okay.
I don't know why. I just have this weird feeling about 50-50. It might be... I think it has Joseph Gordon-Levitt. People that really like his films are going to go see it. And I think it also has... I think people will assume, because Seth Rogen's in it, that the stoner humor is going to be really high. So you're going to have a lot of people that like stoner humor going to see it, I think.
Yeah. I think 50-50 is going to have a really good, solid... performance. I think What Your Number has a chance to because of the chick flick crowd. But honestly, if Lion King only drops 20-some% again,
yeah,
and stays in theaters, it might win.
That's true. That's true.
But I think it's all going to be horse races around 15 million.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The funny thing about What's Your Number is they're really only advertising Anna Faris in it. It's weird that they're not pushing Chris Evans' character.
Yeah, because he was in kind of a big movie this summer.
Yeah, he's kind of Captain America.
Just kind of.
You know, sure. Just a little bit. It's kind of a big deal.
Almost as much as Matthew Salinger was.
But yeah, like even the trailers don't really show off his character at all.
There's not much the trailers. I think What's Your Number is either going to do really well or just it's going to be like I don't know how she does it tank.
Oh, well, the thing about I don't know how she does it is how much anger there is towards that movie.
Well, people are just pissed off at Sarah Jessica Parker for part of it is just she's like 58 years old and she's trying like, oh, I have a 3-year-old. Like, no, yeah. You don't.
I also think people are starting to get pissed at the whole I'm rich, I have a hard life thing.
Yeah. That she tends to play. Tough. It's so tough to be wealthy.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are starting to wear a little thin of that.
People are rejecting that. Yeah, I think you're right. It's sort of like them rejecting movies that where they're like, they got the gorgeous girls. Just, you don't know how hard it is.
So, essentially any Katherine Heigl movie?
I'm hoping, I am praying to God for the Katherine Heigl backlash that is to come. It has to happen.
I
think it's already starting. Killers got a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, sad. One for the Money, that trailer just makes me angry at her.
Yeah.
I get it, I guess, but I mean, you can do so much better character development for her.
I hear she's an awful person. Maybe when she was younger, before she became famous, thanks to Grey's Anatomy.
But. Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I think you can kind of see it in her characters. None of her characters are really lovable anymore.
Well, she's a snotty little prissy actress in her. Movies.
Like, all of her characters kind of have that undertone with them, right? It's it's that like I have never liked any of her characters when it comes to romantic comedy she's been in,
except for like My Father the Hero. She needs to do her sex tape and get knocked down a couple pegs. Take the Scarlett Johansson route.
Scarlett Johansson.
You're like, oh, you had to say it.
Best release ever.
That's so awesome. Do you ever watch the movie Blood Rain 3 by Uwe Boll?
You weren't even aware that it exists. 1 and 2.
Well, then you should totally understand 3 because you.
This is how Blood Rain gets me every single time that I like the both times I've seen the movie. Like,
it's a hot 1 and 2.
This is how it gets me. Cover.
Okay.
Because that cover just makes me want to see that movie.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you put a hot girl on a movie poster, I'm gonna buy that movie and watch it.
Wow. You're gonna go buy What's Your Number? Is what you're saying?
Damn it.
Well, you know, the movie Blood Rain 3 starts Natasha Mouth, and she's gorgeous because she was the one from 2.
Yeah.
She was part 2.
I think the one from 2 is definitely the more appealing one.
Oh, she's so cute. She's so just beautiful. And she has a nude scene in it. And in the behind the scenes, Uwe Boll is talking about the nude scene. I've said this too, but I think it's worth repeating. And he was complaining, and so they had a whole thing about they had a whole section of the behind the scenes about the nude scenes that she was doing. And he was complaining at one point about Tara Reid, who was in Alone in the Dark with him.
Okay.
That he did. And he was bitching that she wouldn't do a nude scene. And he's like, with his Uwe Boll thick axe, he's like, I don't know if that's a problem. And she goes to these clubs and parties and her tits are hanging out and her vagina's open. Yeah, she won't do a nude scene. Everybody's seen it already. They just have to go to TMZ. And you sit there and you're like going, you know what? He's a shitty filmmaker, but he's got a fucking point.
It's true. It's true.
All right. So, we don't know what's going to happen this weekend. Do you have anything else that's sort of sticking in your craw? Do you have a craw? Do you need to clean your craw?
I mean, I was saying to you earlier, I still haven't seen Abduction, but God, I don't like that movie's making money.
You're not going to find. I was the only one in the theater when I saw it.
Really?
It was really cool. I was actually able to, like, I was tweeting during it. And then somebody's like, shouldn't you be tweeting it? I'm like, dude, there's nobody here.
That is awesome.
The only other time that's happened in, like, the last 10 years was when I went and saw The Love Guru, like, 2 weeks after it came out.
The Love Guru. Well, I mean, there's something about Taylor Lautner that just makes me want to punch somebody.
Well, he's not that good of an actor. He's a good-looking kid, and he's got great abs.
I mean, here's the thing. I have seen the crazy stuff when he was younger, like when he, like, because he's a phenomenal like martial artist. I'll give him that. He's a great martial artist. But if your only two looks you have are angry and a little bit more angry,
it's funny when he tries to cry in the movie.
Well, I've seen the clip where they're driving and he has to jump out of the car and he's freaking out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't even tell if you're upset or pissed off right now.
Well, there's a scene where, because you see it in the trailer where they kill his parents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he's like, no.
And the look on his face, he's like, and it's like he's trying to force the tears out of his face with his rectal muscles.
Yeah, it's really weird. There's the other thing that kind of creeps me out a little bit about the movie is, even though I know Lily Collins is like 22 years old.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of make her look like she's 13 in the movie.
She kind of looks like she's 13 in everything, which is part of the appeal of Lily Collins.
Well, I mean, in Priest, she looked a little bit. She looked up.
In Priest, well, I'm 40, so.
Yeah, but I mean, the clip.
I feel dirty when I look at any of these movies.
The other clip I've seen is them like going at it. And I felt really creepy watching that scene.
Well, he's like only 18. He's younger than she is.
It's not as bad as it looks, but it's just that she looks so young.
It's not as bad as the Twi moms who are like a couple of years ago, like, Taylor Lott, let me like rub your face on my genitals.
Well, I saw, I guess, 16. Did you see the Comic-Con Twilight lines?
Oh no, I've seen Twihards.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the lines and it was like 50-year-olds with like posters of them. I'm like, oh,
it's creepy.
If this was reversed and it was like an 18-year-old girl and 40, 50-year-old guys just like screaming their heads off, every one of them would be arrested.
Oh, it would be like if Selena Gomez, even now she's 18. If I was like going, oh, Selena Gomez, come here and lick my privates.
So creepy. People,
and I'd be just like, oh no, because it just shows the devotion and love if she just wants to worship me.
Yeah.
I would be put in jail.
Oh yeah.
For saying that about Selena Gomez. In fact, I think I will be put in jail.
I'm not gonna lie, that might be my underlying reason why I just really, really dislike anything he's in.
You're afraid you're gonna have some woman rubbing herself next to you?
Yeah.
When I went inside, my wife's a fan of the Twilight movies. Because she has a vagina. It's a requirement. And so I've checked. It's there. Three kids have come out. Well, actually, one kid came out of it. Two came cesarean. But they went in that way. Let's just put it that way. But we went to, I took her to see, I think it was the last one. I can't remember. I think it was either the last one or New Moon. One of the last two, not the first one. I took her to see it for the screening. And they were doing the radio station contest, and this woman's like, "Woo, yeah!" And she was like 40, and I'm like, "Late." And she wasn't even she wasn't MILF attractive 40. I know some 40-year-old women that would knock your socks off. This woman, you want to put them back on, and then the shoes, and then out the door, or just skip it all and get out the door because this one was nasty looking. I mean, we're talking State Fair, Walmart, off-brand mac and cheese nasty. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean,
shall we move on?
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say. I mean, at least the Twilight films kind of have at least some cool sequences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you take out Edward and Bella, they're actually not bad movies.
Yeah. I mean, I think the last one I saw was directed by the 30 Days
David Slade.
Yeah, and I actually thought the fight sequences were actually really good. I was impressed.
I actually gave that a good review. I gave it a good rating. I said the Bella Edwards stuff is horseshit.
The thing that I don't really like about the film is the whole, like, you have a person that under any other circumstances would not appeal to any guys.
Yeah.
She's annoying. She is one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know in what universe two guys are fighting over.
In the Twilight universe.
But and that just, the minute, that whole dynamic just makes the film not good for me. And the fact
Have you seen Vampires Suck?
It's
kind of worth seeing.
I'm not going to lie, I saw about 30 minutes of it, then I turned it off.
I thought the girl who played the Bella character.
Oh, she did a great job as the whole.
Was genius.
She did an insanely good job of doing the whole Kristen Stewart biting her lips, depressed.
Just the uttering thing. You know, I bet you'd be great to have sex with Bella Swan because she'd be like a vibrator because she'd be. And she's, you know, and that would probably feel good. Yeah, but yeah, no, there's a scene in Vampire Suck where they go in and she's like, oh, well, I want to, they make a joke about, oh, I'm completely unappealing and nobody likes me, but everybody's hot for me.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it, and I've always said this about the Twilight movies with the Bella's character, she's in high school. And there is so much child molestation potential surrounding the entire Twilight. For a book series that is famous for people not fucking.
Yeah.
There is so much inappropriate child molestation rapey business going on surrounding it with the Twi moms hot for a 16-year-old kid and like wetting themselves in the theater because and not being ashamed one bit about it. Oh, yeah. I mean, Jesus, I got a hard on when I saw Britney Spears touch me, kiss me baby one more time or whatever. But at least I held my head in shame while I waited for the blood to recede. But I'm telling you this. Then you, on top of it, you got this hundred year old guy, who is targeting a 16-year-old girl because she's delicious.
Yeah, I mean, and
how much more rapey does that get?
I mean, the only argument I've ever heard about the movie is, oh, the reason why it's so good is because he cares so much for her. I mean,
doesn't care for her. What does he care? That's the other thing I said. I said, there's no, what does he care about? It's just he loves her for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing that, like, sticks in my craw about it is.
See, you picked up my term. There you go.
Well, I love vampire movies. Mm-hmm. I love werewolf movies. And it seems like this woman did not do her research when it comes to vampires and werewolves.
Oh, she just made shit up.
I mean.
Oh, no, they're sparkle.
First of all, they're not werewolves. Fuck? If they.
Well, they'll tell you. Twilight fan will be like, they're not with weirdos. They're shapeshifters.
And
they're from an ancient tribe.
Yeah, shapeshifters. Guess what? They can shapeshift into more than one thing.
Yeah, and shapeshifters also don't shapeshift their pants in the process.
Yeah, I mean, and like,
what the fuck? Where the hell do those blue jeans go?
The other thing is, I can let you get away with the sparkling vampires thing. It's stupid. I can let you get away with it. But the fact that she gets pregnant.
Well, see, now we're spoiling the last movie.
Nah. I mean, that's the number one thing that it makes. If vampires can get women pregnant, the number one thing vampires do is have sex. So there should be half vampires running around like crazy in this universe.
Yeah,
but
I'm kind of done with the whole vampire werewolf. Thing. I know it's wildly popular, and you got Teen Wolf and Vampire Diaries.
It's overdone at this point. I mean,
that's just everybody's doing.
I was like, it was good.
It's
when
like
it was
Coke like, in the '80s. Yeah,
it was good when it was like once every few years you'd have a really good vampire movie, a really good werewolf movie. But now it's like, jeez.
Well, but the other thing, they're all the same. They're like True Blood, all that stuff. They're just it's. And I mean, nothing against True Blood. I know there's a lot of fans out there, but they're like, okay, vampires, and there's this ancient battle between werewolves and vampires. Like, really again?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I really like the first and second season of True Blood, and mm-hmm. now they're getting a little bit crazy with it. They got, like, witches and warlocks and fairies, and it's, yeah.
And Wookalars.
Yeah, it's getting a little weird, so, I mean, maybe it's just because Snooki got naked every episode, but whatever.
I was okay with that. I completely was distracted by that huge gap in her teeth when her tits were hanging out. And Lynn Collins, isn't that her name? She was in the first season. She's gorgeous.
I like the redhead that's in the second season.
Oh, okay.
Is it Victoria? It's something weird.
You and your redheads.
It's my weakness. They're my kryptonite.
Is she kryptonite? That's your red kryptonite, is what
you're
saying.
There you go, yeah. It's the red kryptonite.
let's move on to the Fat Guy 5 before we get any more trouble.
Let's do it.
And alienated. This is, of course, based on 50-50, and this is our 5 favorite terminally ill patients in movies. The first one was yours. You go ahead and take that one, because that was your suggestion.
Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, which is easily one of my top 10 of all time movies. I mean, Philadelphia is just awesome.
It is officially the AIDS movie.
Oh, yeah.
because it was the first real big ones. Even before the band and the band played on, I think came out on HBO.
Yeah, there's just so many good things about the movie. Tom Hanks' character is just awesome. He's lovable. Mm-hmm. Like Tom Hanks does, like, well, it's Tom Hanks. I mean, when can he not do a really good job at?
Wow, but this was the one. This is the first big movie he did very seriously.
Oh yeah, and great. He does a great job. The character is really likable. The situation he's in is understandable as still
not so likable.
Yeah, the situation.
He does have age, you know.
Yes, but I mean, and then you have Denzel as his lawyer. So
that was Jonathan Demme who directed that, right?
Yes. Okay. So I think all around, but the character is just so likable that I mean, that easily one of my favorite like movies of all time. It's just a great movie.
Cool. The next one, we got Julia Roberts in Steel Magnolias. Not that Steel Magnolias is a good movie, because I didn't like it. I just love the fact that she dies in it. Because I'm like, Julia Roberts gets dead, which was awesome. I'm watching the movie, and I start watching with my, at the time it was my girlfriend, it's my wife. We're watching the movie, and I was in college, and I go, oh, she's so, I didn't know anything about it. I'm like, oh, she's so gonna die. And then when she like has that seizure in the beauty parlor, I'm like, yeah! Right!
You're just waiting for it, eh?
Score!
I've been waiting since Pretty Woman to see Julia Roberts die.
Do you want to take the next one?
The next one is Ernie Davis in The Express.
Yeah, or whoever played Ernie Davis in that movie.
You know what? I'm trying to think who it is. I think it's the guy who was like handpicked by Denzel Washington for.
You're looking it up. I can hear you.
Clicking. Oh, yeah, I am. I'm like, what? Why? Oh, no, I'm incorrect, sir. It is the dude from Finding Forrester.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Rob Brown. Mm. Which, surprisingly, he's not in a lot of movies, which is weird because he actually is a very good actor.
Yeah. Well, and The Express was not very. It didn't do well. It was not very well known, but you know, it's a good movie. It's a touching story, and it's really quite a sad story. And being from Ohio,
yeah,
I you know, there's a nice connection there with Cleveland.
I liked it. I mean, I'm one of these people that really didn't know that much about Ernie Davis and his and his story and his upbringing. So because
he had such a short career, that's the thing.
Yeah, and I mean, it was actually pretty interesting story. The acting's really good. The character is extremely likable. Like, I mean, how can't you like a guy from humble beginnings and just really worked his butt off to be where he was, right?
Yeah.
And as a black man, I have to preface it that because it won't make sense if I just said as a man, I really like the fact that I actually learned. I didn't realize like. It wasn't that bad when it came to football players. So,
okay.
Yeah, see, if I just said that, it would make no sense without So,
well, yeah, because, I mean, what was the years? What year did he play? It was in the 60s, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And I had no idea it was that bad in the 60s. Holy crap. But, yeah, I think great movie, great character. And I think first person to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I'm so clueless on my football
history. Yeah, I'm positive it's first African American to win the Heisman Trophy.
Oh wow. Yeah, because I mean, he was only played professional ball for. I mean, wasn't he? He was like drafted.
He was drafted. Was play, I think he really only played like a couple games. Season essentially.
Wow.
So he didn't play that long. So I mean, he was more of a college person. So
awesome.
So and the next person on the list.
The next one is on the list is John Hurt for The Elephant Man, who was technically terminally ill.
Yeah.
Because if he fell asleep lying down, he would die. And that was bound to happen at some point.
Oh, yes.
But the Elephant Man, a David Lynch movie, which is very not David Lynch.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, one of the most notable things about that movie is, aside from it being black and white, that was one of those, back when you could shoot a movie in black and white.
Yeah. John Hurt.
John Hurt, fantastic actor, just brought such a level of sympathy and pathos to this character.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, John Hurt is the Elephant Man. Was a great addition to that. So, yeah, terminally ill because of his gross, crazy malformations. And a very touching film. You want to take the next one?
Yeah, the next one is John Hurt and Alien.
Again, Alien. Not really an illness.
it's not technically a disease, but...
It's an infection.
He's definitely going to get screwed over at some point.
Yeah, once that alien goes in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming out.
Oh, but...
In the most graphic way possible. So, yeah. definitely a terminal illness. Now, we have a couple dishonorable mentions. I'm going to throw up mine, which is Adam Sandler and Funny People, the other Seth Rogen comedy. Cancer comedy. Simply because I just hate it. I was telling you this in the we were telling this in the show prep. I saw Funny People and I thought it was okay. And then I saw it again on Blu-ray and I fucking hate it.
I just love the thought of you watching it the first time. You're going, this is pretty decent, and then slowly, just got in your brain without you knowing. You just got angry and angry about the movie. And then one day you're like, let's watch this again, and your brain was like, no, screw you.
And then just broken my brain like an aneurysm.
This is why we hate this movie. You should have never watched this a second time.
It made me hate Judd Apatow in general as a filmmaker, not as movies.
No. I mean, that's a lot to make a movie Judd Apatow be hated for a movie.
Well, because every movie stars his wife, who, yes, she's attractive.
His wife and his kids.
And his kids. And she's attractive, but like they have like a 5-minute scene just explaining how beautiful she is.
Yeah.
She's like, these jeans still make me look hot, don't they? And I'm like, you are that shallow?
Maybe, think about it this way. Maybe he screwed up a little bit. And then he wrote that
this
scene.
This is his way of saying, I'm sorry.
Then he wrote that scene and she was like, I forgive you.
Yeah. And then we have the scene where the kids, we have to sit through the girl singing Memory. And I'm like, yes, fine. She's got a nice voice. Yes, she's got confidence on stage. Just give her the damn role in another movie and be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, just do the Aaron Spelling, I'm going to let Tori Spelling be on my show. Crap. I would just, and then I hate all the characters are assholes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think who's probably the most likable character in that film. Jeez. Seth Rogen's kind of... I mean, walks a fine line. He walks a fine line of douchiness in that movie.
Aziz Ansari is the best character
as, in that as movie. Randy.
As Randy with like 9 A's.
So the best part about Randy is I think I probably laughed more during his the 3-part Randy videos that came out before the film.
Yeah.
I thought those were hilarious.
I loved Randy. He was my favorite part.
I mean,
when he was talking about when he's talking about Chick-fil-A, there's just something about that. It's delicious.
There's the one where he likes to put his head in pornos on porno stars' bodies. I mean, yeah, it was really funny. So I was hoping when I went into that movie to see more of him, but
no,
because he was essentially a Dane Cook times 10, right? So
I don't even compare him to Dane Cook. I've had shits that are better than Dane Cook. I hate Dane Cook. As if you can't tell. You know what's great about Dane Cook? It's the same thing with Dan Fogler. They had their run and they're done.
That's true.
Not making any more movies.
Yeah, the weird thing, like, I liked Dane Cook's first CD. Still probably quoted every once in a while, but...
Oh, my God.
I mean,
you're dead to me.
Yeah, damn. There's jokes that I like because of I think the reason why I like some of his jokes, or probably most of the jokes from his first CD, is I actually can, like, put myself in those situations, or I've had those things happen to me where I'm like, that's true.
Okay.
And that's probably just because, well, Dane Cook's a college person. And I bought his first CD when I was in college. So
college. Proving to me that you can't just go out and get laid.
Yeah.
And then
I sat at home and listened to Dane Cook.
Does that happen? Does that really happen? Because that girl was cute. She had really nice breasts.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, yeah, Randy, but Funny People is, yeah. This kind of makes me not want to go back and watch it again because I think I'm going to hate it at that point.
You're now going to watch it. You go, God damn it. You ruined it for me.
You just ruined me going back and watching it for a second time.
That's right. You were going to put this on the list. I wouldn't allow you.
Yeah. The older sister and my sister's keeper.
The dying one.
Yes. Which is, it's weird. It's weird about that movie because I did not like the parents in that movie.
I didn't like anybody in that movie.
The only person I really, really liked, because I think she's going to be a great actress when she's older, is Abigail Breslin.
I'll be curious to see what happens with her. Because
I don't know why. I have this weird feeling she already has the acting abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I guess don't become Drew Barrymore and get addicted to drugs when you're 12.
Well, she's past that.
Yeah, I think she's probably 15 now.
Drew Barrymore, it was just because Abigail Breslin's like 16 now.
I think so. I mean, I've seen
the... I think she is. I actually did a junket and interviewed her. It was in 2008
when
Kitteridge came out. And it was her biggest challenge is going to... Every child star has to go through that awkward... And it happens to boys and girls.
Yeah,
you know, Fred Savage was adorable, and then grew up, and you're just like, you know, you're not. It's not that he's ugly; it's just he's not somebody you want to put in a movie.
Yeah, I mean,
or TV.
I don't know. I hope she does well because I loved Zombieland. I love her character in Zombieland.
Yeah,
and I actually saw Zombieland and then My Sister's Keeper.
But I mean, it's getting to that. It's getting to the. It's her getting over that awkward hump.
Yeah, and as long as she doesn't do the whole, what's her name?
Lindsay
Dakota Lohan? Fanning, where she looks the exact friggin' same, and it creeps me out every time I...
Did you see The Runaways?
I've heard about what happens in that movie. I do not want to see it.
No, you're thinking of Hound Dog when she gets raped.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't get raped in The Runaways. She just gets addicted to drugs and kind of has a... pseudo lesbian infatuation with Kristen Stewart.
That's weird to me because she looks the exact same as she did when she was like 6 years old.
She just stretched. It's like they took her from War of the Worlds and then stretched her, put the wrong lens on the camera.
Yeah.
She's like tall.
It's weird. It kind of creeps me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. So I'm hoping that does not happen to
really
Abigail Breslin. Cause,
well, because
please just grow up. So
But the thing is, with her, is she going to grow into her face? Because she was adorable when she was younger, like in the sunshine. But, you know, will she take, because she's in New Year's Eve. We were talking about that.
Yes, and I've seen the weird scene where she pulls up her shirt.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's like there's Emma Roberts was not a great younger actress, but she's really turned into a good looking girl.
Yeah.
And I think she might have it, but it's this weird bridging the gap, and a lot of people can't do that. So I'll be curious to see what happens with it. Also, it was interesting when I actually interviewed her. I sat down, I was chatting with her for a while. Her handlers are insane.
Really?
I tried to get her to do an introduction to this show.
Oh, okay.
I said at the end of the interview, I said, Abby, can you say, hey, I'm Abigail Breslin, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and her handler wouldn't let her do it.
Oh, wow.
Her mom's sitting right there, and her mom's like, oh, I don't get it. And I look at her mom because it was right after Nim's Island came out. And I look at her mom, and I go, Gerard Butler did it. And she just starts cackling. She's like, oh, my God, Gerard would do anything. Blah, 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 blah. Her mom's real hoot to listen to.
Okay.
But Abby was just really just – she just sort of sat there.
Okay.
She's a very – at least at that time, she was just a very typical kid that was just like, well, I'm working. So, and she'd turn on to do her answers. You just say, like, she'd sort of standing there, and you'd ask her a question, and then, boom, she was prepared for her answers, and she could do it, and she turned on for the camera or the microphone.
Oh, wow.
And then when she was done, it was just sort of like, boo. She sort of powered down.
Robot.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. Are you going to, like Emma Roberts? I think Emma Roberts could do the Anne Hathaway thing and do a nude scene. and get away with it because she's good looking and she doesn't look like she's 12.
That's true.
You know, sort of define herself as an adult actress or a grown up actress. Yeah. I don't know if Abigail Breslin could do that.
I don't know. I don't. Yeah.
Not now.
Obviously.
But you know, like 4 or 5 years, that's on the
I
table.
Mean, I don't know why, but I hope she's she makes it as a grown up actor, because like I said, My Sister's Keeper is probably one of the only people I actually like in the movie.
I like the dog. Alec Baldwin's dog. I liked him. You know what? I have to congratulate you. This is the most, as much as child molesty and rapey as the Twilight movies are, I think this is the most child molesty rapey discussion I've ever
Everything
had.
Everything is
this
supposed
show.
To be innocent, and it's not it turning out that way.
It's like you said, like, I'm on the internet. I'm not raping people, trust me. Did you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I do every once in a while. Yeah.
Oh my God. There's an episode coming up. I don't know whether it's this week or next week, but I got a screener for it early for my TV show podcast. And it's about Frank running a beauty contest for little kids.
Oh.
Like one of those Frank's little beauties. And he inherited it from this other guy because he was working on his apartment. The guy was arrested for child molestation. And so he keeps telling me, he's like, I'm not at all interested. I'm not going to molest your children. I'm not. And they keep telling him, they're like, Frank, if you have to say that,
yeah,
it's not like a good thing.
Equivalent of pretty much saying, like,
I
no
will
offense, but.
Oh my God. We better go to a break.
No, I I've only seen a few episodes, but it's a pretty funny show.
It's good. We're going to go to a break and we'll be back.
All right.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. If you want to go back and listen to the middle segment, I'd advise you not to. Because it will get us in so much trouble. I think this is also the longest middle segment. I know that sounds dirty. It's the longest middle segment that we've ever done on the show. Fozzie Bear and Elizabeth Rapp are contenders for that, but I think you may have beat them both.
Which I am glad to hear.
it's competitive on this show. It's a crazy thing. So we will move on. What do we got coming up here in this next segment?
We have the world-famous DVD Roundup.
See? It always has to happen. I'm going to let you start since you're the guest. Brand new. What's going on?
All right. So, I mean, the newest things that I have on my plate for DVDs are How I Met Your Mother Season 6, which just came out this week. Okay. And the
new is better, is always better edition. Isn't that what it's called? They always give it an edition name.
Yeah, it's the new is always better edition, which if you've watched season 6, you know it's Barney's mantra, essentially, for the season.
Because we all want to pattern our lives after Barney. It's a good season. What's funny about it, though, is I said this once to somebody who's like, oh, I love, you know, he loves the characters. I go, yeah, but you wouldn't want to be friends with Barney Stinson.
It's weird. I mean, season 6 has them growing a lot more, though. I mean, Barney
grows, but then they pull him right back.
Yeah, well... you know what? I'm going to leave it. Yes. Yes. I was going to say something that might have ruined it if nobody's seen the season. So I'm just going to leave it alone. But I mean, the season has a lot more heart than we've seen for a few seasons, which is really good. You start to like the characters a little bit more in this season, which is always a good thing when you have a show that's been running for 6 years.
Oh, yeah. And they're renewed for 2 more years, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, it looks like we're getting actually pretty close to beating the mother. I know. Was it last
season?
You
know it's not going to happen until the very last
episode. Oh, yeah.
Episode.
The weird thing is, like, season 5, we were essentially told that at the end of the season, we're going to meet the mother. And you only see her ankle, which is,
yeah.
Let's be honest, that's a cop-out. But this one, they kind
it's
of...
the premise of the show.
Yeah. This one, season 6, they essentially say, this is when you're going to meet the mother, and it looks like they're trying to lead up to that now, which is pretty cool.
Yep, definitely, definitely.
And the other one that I have, well, first of all, get it. If you like How I Met Your Mother, I think this is one of the best seasons. 5 was a little bit disappointing to me, but 6 I think is really, they're back on track.
Okay.
So definitely buy How I Met Your Mother Season 6. The other one I have came out last week, which is The Complete Saga.
Of Star Wars.
Yes, of Star Wars, which I know a lot of people were pretty pissed about the changes. I mean, really, nothing changes in the story. It's the exact same story that you grew up with and you love, so there's nothing to really complain about.
Fleeing Ewoks aren't going to ruin the movie.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that I noticed the most about it, though, is the picture is just awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely is a great-looking DVD. I mean, the Blu-ray is just beautiful. So, I mean, get that. It's, if you love Star Wars, you're going to love the DVD. It doesn't matter if you're if you're a fan of 1 to 3 or 6, 7, 8.
I know a lot of people who are like, I hate these changes, but I'm going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
I said the best thing you can do if you want to see him stop changing Star Wars is like make Red Tails a huge hit so that he's got something else to like focus on.
Just be
like,
I don't care about Star Wars. Line up for about 4 months before.
Yeah.
Get it to make it like $300 million its first weekend.
Yeah. If the airmen came out with lightsabers, maybe, who knows?
I would laugh if at some point they're on top of their planes lightsaber fighting people.
Maybe if the movie does well and they re-release it, who knows?
Yeah,
that may actually happen.
I mean, I think it's worth $79. It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's well, not. If you're like some people who hate four, five, six, mm-hmm. which is blasphemy, you know,
yeah.
or you hate 1, 2, 3, you can always get the other ones, which are they come in 1 to 3 or 4 to 6. So.
Yep.
And those ones are like half the price. So either way, you're going to get a pretty good deal on a great series. So
cool. The other ones I've got, because we're running out of time here, we've got Ben-Hur, which is the first time on Blu-ray. You can check that out. There's also The Hour, which is a BBC drama that aired on BBC America. Kind of like a Mad Men does current affair in the 80s.
Okay.
In the 60s. Not a bad little show. Army Wives Season 5, if you're into that sort of thing. And there's also Transformers Turn Off the Dark of the Moon, which actually comes out today when this thing drops on Friday, because for some reason we're now dropping DVDs on Friday. That's been happening for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I've noticed that happening, which is a little bit weird.
Stupid, but stinker of the week is Kendra seasons 2 and 3. Why did this get past season 1? God knows. She is such an awful person. And then let's move on. Review wrap up, because we got about 45 seconds. We've got 50-50, which I said rocked. Dreamhouse and What's Your Number? Can't really review those because those did not screen. Next week we're talking The Ides of March and Real Steel. We got about 30 seconds. Ron, tell us again where to find you and what you do, and say goodbye to the audience.
Yeah, you can find me at boxofficebuzz1z.com or at boxofficebuzz on Twitter. And just go to the website, follow me on Twitter, and it was awesome being on the show.
Thank you again for being on the show. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of great things and some pretty awful things to talk about, but it will hopefully all be entertaining. But until next week, we will see you all at the movies.